Right. Welcome, everybody. My name is Anton.
And I'm Rodianne.
And welcome to our next SOMA information meeting, where this evening we're going to very much have an informal discussion about the conscious use of SOMA and sacred mushrooms. And we have a special group of people with us here this evening that are part of our panel, where they've been introduced to via email already. And they are simply here to answer questions from their own experience, and I'm going to give them an opportunity to introduce themselves to you shortly. And then there are also two experienced watchers here as well who haven't been introduced via email, and they can say hi to you after we've introduced ourselves. And then we're going to open the floor to you to ask questions. You have already had an opportunity to ask questions during registration process, and we're not going to go down that through a list. Each of the members of the panel have had an opportunity to read those, and hopefully by the time we are done this evening, all your questions will be answered, or at least you'll have an opportunity to reach out further and have conversations with us. So very briefly, my name's Anton. I've been doing the admin and sharing communications via email, etc., for summer retreats in my way of helping Monica for a couple of years now already. And it's been a deeply learning experience to find a way to find my words in how I can share information with as many people as possible and how we work with SOMA and sacred mushrooms. So I've spoken to you and had some contact with you via emails already. And there's a very strong wave of interest in how we're working at the moment. I'd like to share that this is not the only way to work with mushrooms, but it is the way that we've learned from Monica, as she's learned over the last 13 years now already. And we continue to learn. We don't have all the answers, but the answers that we are giving are from experience. They're not from what we've Googled or searched, because when Monica started, there was no information about mushrooms. So it's that information that we're passing on and sharing with you. And that I like to share with everybody. It's a big part of my day. Handing over to my beautiful fiance here, Rodianne. Hi, Rodi.
Good evening, everybody. As Anton said, I'm Rodianne. I'm still not bored of being called his fiance. I think, you know, fortunately we'll get married before that happens, I think.
Oh, beautiful.
So, oh, I know, right? I met Anton in Monica's kitchen, just to give you all a little bit of a background. Was on my first watch and he was journeying that night, and the rest is kind of history. And I wouldn't change anything. I wouldn't change anything. You know, it's been quite a ride, and I must say SOMA has been by my side the whole way. And I was listening to Anton, I was saying, well, how do I explain what I do? It's quite difficult because I don't help Monica outwardly like Anton does by dealing with all the emails. But when Anton was saying finding his own words, it's because we spent a lot of time in the very beginning composing a lot of the emails together, and Anton really is finding his own words, and it's like, oh, he doesn't need me anymore. But at the same time, I'm like, oh, this is so wonderful, because now it allows me to be free and be there for him when he needs me and Monica, and at the same time be there for myself. So, you know, you always wonder about these kind of times. When am I going to reach that stage? Well, I've reached that stage and I'm trying to find my feet. So that's also interesting. And I'm very much committed to SOMA. It's the one thing that has come up in my mind. I'm like, okay, so well, what does that mean for me? Does that mean it's over for me? I'm like, no, it just means that it's more for me than it's ever been before. So it's not actually for helping Monica in a way anymore. It's not actually for helping Anton. It's actually for being there for all of you, because it's for me too. And for you, those of you who haven't embarked on this journey, it's probably the nicest thing you'll ever do to yourself and for yourself, but you've got to know that this is what you want to do. So I don't know, I can talk for hours. My life is kind of, yeah, filled with plants and wildlife, and I live the dream, if I can say that. I think Lindy said so the one day when I introduced myself. I do live the dream, but it's been a long process of living it. And looking back on it now, I think mushrooms has had a lot to do with it. So I don't know, maybe I'm a poster child in a way. I'm not sure. I don't know, but I'm really glad you're all here. This is me. I'm here. I'll see what I can say, see if I can help in any way. Now let's speak to someone else.
Thanks, Rodi. Margie. Good evening, Margie.
Hi. Yes, I've been watching and journeying, and as I always say, the combination of all of those things is one long journey, which I think Monique posted something on the Facebook page that says, forgotten what the first phrase was about, when does a watcher something rather, and then
lose the plot.
Lose the plot, yeah. And it was when the watcher thinks that they know everything. And that's so true, because every journey that I've watched and every journey that I've done as a journeyer has been different and has raised different things. And it really is about infiltrating your everyday consciousness, I think, of how you look at things. So hopefully for all of you, this is embarking on that journey of sorts. It is an adventure, but it's mostly a positive adventure, even if you have difficult journeys as you go along. So welcome.
Thank you, Margie. I'm going to go on in the order that I see it on my screen. Monica, you're up next with Roger after you. How are you this evening, Monica?
I'm good, thank you. Hello, everyone. It's nice to see all your faces on the screen, and some of you, just the names. Be nice if you could show us your faces also. I've been working with mushrooms for 13 years now, and I have no words to describe how much it has meant, how much I have learned, what amazing education it has been, and how my own heart has changed my attitude to life over the years. I couldn't have had a better education than I've had over the last 13 years with Soma Mushrooms. I'm a widow. I live alone in my house. I should say I sleep alone in my house, but my home is full of people coming and going. And at the moment, I have a cousin moving in with me, and she's 70 years old, so she's a lot younger than me. But I remember her being born, and so we're having lots of good memories and lovely chats as she goes into her new life. Makes me very happy that she's here. Yeah, lots to say, but I think that's enough for now.
Monica, I remember you posted a picture today of an introduction saying that you're playing with a new camera, which is why I now join the dots and I understand why your picture is black and white.
Yeah.
And we haven't found a way to sit. To
I don't know how to make it back to ordinary color.
Perfect way.
That's okay. But for explanation for everybody, there's a valid reason.
I'm not normally black and white.
Not at all. Very colorful, in fact. Roger, good evening.
My name is Roger, and I'm sitting in Pelaborwa, where I now live. I did say the other day that I've been involved with Monica and Soma Land for just over half of the time that Monica has been working with mushrooms. And if I'm not, I'm sure I'm correct when I say that Anton and Rodi Ann were at Soma Land when I went there for my first journey, mm-hmm. Which was 7-odd years ago. Mm-hmm. And wow, I mean, what a journey it has been for me. Tremendous healing from addiction. Amazing insights. And then I had the opportunity to watch at Soma Land and learn the art of watching, which I did religiously at Monica's for about 2 years. Mm. And that for me took me to another level. And that's where I really learned to forgive myself for my past transgressions in life, and learned to love myself, which allowed me then to love other people again, which I'd lost the plot somewhere along the line. Not as a watcher, but I lost the plot as a person. I mean, it's just been a truly wonderful experience. And now to work as a watcher up here in Pelaborwa gives me the opportunity to give back. And I love doing it. Somebody asked, why do we do it at night? Well, I'm going to say that to me, there's a certain ethos and an integrity behind what I refer to as the Soma way, the way that Monica has taught us, the way that we have collectively over the years, Monica created our own ethos and our own integrity that underpins what I call the Soma way. And really, why do we do it at night? Because we take this work exceptionally seriously. We take it with the reverence and the respect and the humility that it deserves. And we do it at night because this is an inward process where you go into your own consciousness. And it's better equipped that this is done at night. It just seems to make sense that if you're going to go into your own consciousness and beyond, that it's best served being done at night.
Thank you, Roger. Welcome to the panel, Monica.
I just want to make a comment on what Roger said, and to get closer to accuracy, that the Soma at night was not my idea ever. All over the world, mostly mushrooms is done at night, people who work with mushrooms. And I was following that guidance. Just wanted to be clear on that I wasn't clever enough to get that idea myself.
Thank you, Monica. That's your panel. That's the five of us who've been introduced to you via email. I also want to give Dato and Suzanka just an opportunity to say hi. And then I'm going to open the floor to you. And as I prepare for that, I want to just explain a little bit about what a watcher is. But I'm first going to ask Dutoy and Zuzanka to say hi, Dutoy.
Good evening, everyone. My first name is Dutoy. It's so nice to be on the Zoom call. I remember very clearly, I did my first ceremony on the 8th of May last year, and probably about 2-3 weeks before that, I had my first introductory call just like you guys. And I remember the first thing that I said was how wonderful it is to see the faces of the people on the call, the people who's worked with mushrooms, because they all had such friendly and open faces. And it really is true. Everybody has said that their lives have changed, and I also want to say that my life has changed, and I think my life has found new purpose. I've always had a very good life. I've got nothing to complain about. I never came to Soma because of a major problem in my life. I came upon Soma largely trying to find a way to assist my wife who struggles with depression, and ended up finding so much truth and purpose and just everything in this wonderful, wonderful thing that is psilocybin mushrooms. And since the 8th of May last year, immediately after that first journey, I knew that I needed to be part of this and give back. Since being able to think about what it is that I want to do with my life, I've always wanted to work with people and help people and give back to people in some way. I work in the corporate world. I come from a financial background, which is not very people orientated at all. We're not about making people feel happy. We're about keeping the money safe, which wasn't great. It paid the bills, but it didn't really resonate with my heart. And Soma has given me the opportunity to do something that really strongly resonates with my heart. And I'm so thankful that I can do that. And I can't remember, Roger, if you said this when we were saying hi to one another or after, but journeying does a lot for you as an individual. That's an understatement. No words can explain what you get from that. But watching every time that I watch afterwards, every single person contributes to my life. And I always think, oh, what if my heart goes full and I can't learn anymore? Or if I can't, what if it just doesn't get any better? And every time that I watch, there's just more and more and more. So I'm here to just listen to everyone. And if I've got a cent to add, I'll add my cent. But I'm just thankful. Hopefully I get to watch over one of you at some point. It really is a magical place. And I'm just thankful to be here with all of you. Thank you.
Thank you, Ditto. It's a pleasure to have you here too. Suzanka, good evening.
Good evening. My name is Suzanka. I'm by profession, what I do out in the world is I'm a wilderness guide. So I take people out into the wild places and we work with nature on healing journeys. I'm also qualifying as an interspecies communicator, which makes my job out there in the wild a lot easier. And I've journeyed a few times with Soma. And it was never, so it was so funny how it began, is I've always had people on the retreats that have done psychedelics and a lot of young people that have done ayahuasca in San Pedro. And I have always been quite conservative in saying that one must journey when one is ready, and that it mustn't be a thing that one does to get quick answers. And so that's what I used to advise the young people. And my idea was never to do psychedelics, but then mushrooms started to really come into my life and to call me. And on asking why, it was the fact that I needed to get something from the mushrooms that I needed for my way forward. And so that is how my journey with the mushrooms started, and I've started my journey with Monica and the group, and I will remain here because I feel so safe and so wonderful here. It's a beautiful community also, and I've experienced journeying at home, being supported online and through WhatsApp, but also in the group with Monica. So this Saturday coming, I will be a watcher with the group that's with you guys, and I'm looking very much forward to it. To witness and to hold space for all your journeys. I'm honored. It's a privilege. It's going to be a privilege. Thank you.
Welcome, Suzanka. So that's us. I'm going to invite you all to ask us questions. I'll give an overview of what is a Soma Watcher. But while I talk, please ask a question, raise your hand under reactions, ask a question in the text box, and we'll get to everybody. We've offered our time this evening to answer as many of your questions as possible. So please take that advantage, or sit back and listen. But we'd very much like to hand over to you and get that ball rolling as soon as possible. Very quickly from my side, a Soma Watcher. A Soma retreat is a group experience. We are there to help those that have come to work with mushrooms in a serious way. We're not called sitters. We're not called helpers. We're not shamans. We're not gurus. We're normal people like you. Simply present to watch you as you connect with the divine force of Soma, and look after that physical space where we all are, and to make sure that you're safe in that environment. We're not there to guide you as you step into the spiritual realm. We're not there to give any answers. We're simply there to help you, and in many cases for the at-home experience, to help prepare you for that experience, so that you can journey, as we call it, into a realm which we know nothing about. And for the rest, we're simply experienced with mushrooms, and we like to share about those experiences. So we refer to them as watchers. Monica's very specific about words. We're not helpers because you don't need help. we're no sitters. We're not sitters is the word that's used, and it's not a good word. Not at least in the way that we're working. I did a course recently on peer support, and very much peer support is maybe what a sitter would do. Is if you are simply present for someone that's going through an experience which they're going to do with or without you in any way, then yes, you can sit with them. But a watcher is doing something else. He's watching to ensure he's disconnected. He or she is disconnected from the experience to allow you even more freedom. Because a sitter can often draw your attention to them sitting. A watcher works actively to not do that, to disappear into the background, to allow you the absolute freedom to connect with the divine force that is Soma. I think the panelists could expand on that. I know, Monica, you could expand on that a lot more. But a very rough overview of who and what we are. We're not special. We're very courageous, I can say that. I've got a lot of respect and a lot of love for each of the watchers that are here. The time and effort they put in to allow people like you to be part of this community and to move in and to move out is quite something. And I'm very, very grateful for that, especially with the world that we're living in now. There's so much awareness. And you all have the potential to be watchers too. Not necessarily in a Soma retreat kind of way, because we are all watchers. We are all watchers in the worlds that we live in, as accountants, as doctors, as nurses, as all kind of roles that we fulfill in society. If we fulfill the role of a watcher, we can help people help themselves, which is a very powerful offering to be able to make, and an incredibly uplifting offering to make. And that's very much the path that DeToya is talking about, this community that opens up where we try and help each other in that way. We're from all walks of life. There's nothing like a Soma retreat where there's nothing specific about a shamanic kind of element. There's no religion. There's no box or category to put a Soma watcher or even someone that attends their Soma retreat in. We come from such varying backgrounds, and our only connection really is the soul thread, which connects us all. So to save me, Mishka, thank you. And to get us to go ahead, Mishka's written in the comments for us and asked, and I'll read out loud, how does the Soma journey work from home? Can you do it first time at home? I suffer from depression and anxiety. Just stop at antidepressants. I'm on mood stabilizers. Can I still take part? And then your third question, do you do private Soma sessions with a partner and watcher? Which of our experienced people would like to start off? Let's talk about the at home. Margie, you started off with working at home and then have also watched in the physical space. Can you give us an overview of the first time at home and how does it work very briefly?
The at-home online journeys are similarly structured as the ones at Somaland in the sense that we have a build up the week before on a WhatsApp group where everybody introduces themselves. So there's a sense of a growing awareness of each other over that week. And then arriving on Saturday, we, during the week as watchers, online watchers, give you information about what you need to do to get prepared, you know, how to prepare your soup for afterwards or your food for it, how to prepare your space, how to prepare the mushroom powder and get all of that ready, and how to prepare yourself just mentally for going into this journey. And then we all, and all the journeyers introduce each other on the WhatsApp group as well. And then on the Saturday evening, when everybody has spent the day and you know, a couple of days before, just kind of mentally getting ready. Some people fast for up to 3 days. I really don't know how they do that. I can barely fast for about 8 hours. But other people fast from 12 o'clock on the Saturday. It varies quite a lot, but we all come together on a Zoom around about 7 o'clock on the Saturday evening and just have a final get together, chat about any questions. We talk a bit about what to expect. And then we all at home take our 5 grams or 1 grams of sacrament and set up the playlist and go off on our journeys. And we recommend strongly, especially people doing it for the first time, is to have a companion at home who can just create that safe space, because a lot of what watchers do is it's just creating a safe space. And the number of times I've heard people say, I just felt so safe seeing you there, or and that's all that's often required, is just a sense of feeling safe in your journey. So a companion helps with that. The companion can also help communicate with us as watchers if there is a need. And then slowly, as people start coming at the end of their journey, they communicate and say, I'm all right, or I'm worried about this, or whatever. And then people go off, we all go to sleep, and then get together again for another Zoom call of reflection and integration and hearing people's stories and experiences the next morning. The online experience often allows you to be maybe more free with laughing or crying or talking while you're journeying. Whereas at Somaliland, given the context in which we're in, which is in a house in a suburb, it's much more constrained in terms of what the kind of noise that we can allow everybody to make. So that's one of the more obvious differences. But I think there's different but very similar. And I've journeyed in both contexts, I've watched in both contexts. And the ultimate experience, I think, is very similar, but the kind of context is a bit different. So I hope I've answered some of the questions about the online. So for the online, we do recommend that, especially if it's your first time, to have a companion there. Some people do it entirely alone. I find that incredibly brave. I've subsequently tried it at home to make sure, to try and think, well, how do people do it entirely alone? And it is feasible, but I did it after I'd done quite a few journeys. Some there are watchers around that will do individual journeys watching. There's just more and more of that available. That's what I can add in terms of that last question. I don't know if somebody else wants to talk about the depression and anxiety one.
Thank you, Margie. The Toy is going to jump in. I just want to add about the at home and the often the misunderstanding that comes in about this online journey experience. It can't be further from an online experience than we're using digital tools to help support and prepare people for a divine connection with Soma mushrooms. And that's often missed when you start using online as a online journey explanation, because it's purely not that. The reality of awareness of people working with mushrooms and psychedelics, with or without the ability to be able to join a physical group, has how this has arisen of providing the tools throughout a period of a week in preparation to the person who wants the journey, and also to the person who we're encouraging to be with them for that experience as someone who doesn't know anything, to give them the knowledge for that. And then on the night of the event, to have that support line available, that should they need to reach out. But there's no big brother Zoom camera on you at all. This is a private, personal, inward experience. And our job is done if we've prepared you properly, but throughout the night there's a team of watchers available until sunrise the next morning, on call and in support if the watcher themselves or the companion that's with them or the journeyer needs them in support. So that's a lovely explanation, and from your own experience that you gave us, Margie, thank you. Detoy.
Yes, Mishka, just a quick few things. You say that you suffer from depression and anxiety. You just stopped your antidepressants. You're still on mood stabilizers. So just quickly, I don't know whether you stopped your antidepressants just by yourself, just stopped them, or whether you're busy on a process halting your medication with medical support. So just on that, I want to say it's really dangerous just stopping your medication. And I wouldn't advise anyone. I'm not a doctor, but I've seen what can happen even with a person that my experience is with my wife. She stopped her medication a few days in advance on her first journey, and that withdrawal is can be exceptionally bad. So don't just do that. So that's important. You say you saw a doctor and stopped with her recommendation. Okay, so that's great. Then your question is, can you still do it while on mood stabilizers? So yes, I do think it's important. If you want to make absolutely sure, you can reach out to us and share whatever you're on, and we can perhaps just get absolute clarity from people who we trust. Again, from my experience with my wife, she's journeyed while on all of her medication, and she's also on a combination of a number of things, and she's journeyed on them. She's journeyed on them after having left all of them for a few days leading up to the ceremony. And in both of those extremes, she's had very positive experiences. She will say that, in her opinion, she doesn't go as deep into the experience as I would, for example, when I journey. But me standing on the outside, I've seen significant benefit. Doesn't matter whether she's on or off medication. So I don't think that should bother you as much. The long and the short is there's very few medications that would be a problem for you if you wanted to journey. There was one more part that I just quickly wanted to touch
on. Yeah. Detoy, before you move on, you're the perfect person from your experience point of view with your wife for us to use this topic of antidepressants. Because it is a big one. There's such a large part of people that arrive in this way because of antidepressants. So if I could just hang you there before you move away from that, to just define and for everybody's understanding about antidepressants, we don't need to, and you're welcome to correct me, Detoy, but from my experience, we don't need to determine what people are on to tell them if it's safe to take psilocybin or soma mushrooms. That's not our role. That's for you to go to the doctor or the medical practitioner and say, this is what I intend to do. Soma mushrooms does not have a negative adverse effect on any medications. The adverse experiences comes from coming off your medications in an abrupt kind of way. SSRIs and antidepressants typically have a suppressive effect on mushrooms. Anything that is going to alter your emotions or suppress your emotions is going to prevent mushrooms from helping you release your emotions. But there's no combustible experience. Monica, thank you. I know your hand is up. There's none of, and I'm going to hand over to you once I'm finished. Thank you. There's no negative effect from that. The negative experience that I know of are when people go off abruptly and they stop their heavy medications, often something like lithium. I know are terrible examples of that, where people say, I'm going to stop. With that suppressive effect, they may feel they're not getting the best benefit from the experience, but it's not like they need to not take it. We're offering the best possible experience that we can and giving the best advice from that. Can I hand over to you from here, Monica? Detoy, I'd love to come back to you as well because you've got some really good, relevant experience. Monica.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment about what often gets overlooked in a conversation like this one. That is even more important to take notice of than the medications. Is that what really makes things very difficult is if you combine mushrooms with other drugs, like cannabis or any of the other drugs. We work only with mushrooms. We don't combine it with other things, especially not alcohol and cannabis. Those two, those things are not a good combination and can cause extreme discomfort and distress. And it's not the mushrooms that cause that, it's the combination of the with something else.
And mushrooms are, of course, not a replacement for your antidepressants either. With mushrooms, we'll work on arriving at the root cause, is the, very much the wording to use, the root cause of whatever issues you feel like you need to work on. But mushrooms are certainly not going to replace your antidepressants, one with the other. And there's a very specific reason why we don't supply microdosing or offer or suggest microdosing in capsules, for example, because that gives this idea that you can take mushrooms as a pill, and it's not a solution in that way. It's going to make you do serious work. It's going to make you confront what you maybe don't want to confront, and that's why we have difficult experiences. They're not bad trips. That's just tough stuff, because the stuff that's tough in our lives can be really difficult to confront. And sometimes you're not meant to confront it today. Maybe you're only meant to be able to deal with it and have the tools to deal with it in a few years' time. And if you rush that process, things can be more difficult than necessary. And that's why we're there, to help you with courage to deal with that. Detoya, have I kind of covered that from your experience? Your journey has been really wonderful from that point of view.
Yes, perfect. Thank you, Anton. Maybe just quickly want to add to what Ronald also has asked around. I think, Ronald, we probably answered your question already, but can it help? Yes, but not in the same way as Western medication currently helps. Western medication deals with your symptoms, but it comes with a whole bunch of other side effects. Soma mushrooms deals with the root cause, and it helps you identify and work on those things. And the very fantastic side effect of working with those root cause issues is the symptoms you're experiencing end up getting better over time. So I hope that answers your question.
Really nice way of putting it. Thank you, Detoy. We're going to keep working through the text questions. I want to hand over to Jean-Luc at the top corner. Before I do, I just want to say, Mishka, you mentioned that you saw the doctor and stopped with her recommendation. That's okay. That's your choice. We've got to remember that doctors and psychiatrists and those medical practitioners are doing what they're trained to do. We're not knocking that. The role that they play is very, very important. And they're in a really difficult position where this mainstream Google solution of lots of people stepping out and sharing their experiences makes it really tough for them to be able to offer something that they're not allowed to, as far as legalities are concerned. And that puts them in a really tough position. And they do have their hands full as far as that, because there are many, many medical practitioners who do work with us, but their hands are tied in many ways. Mm. So if we can find ways to help them, to help us and to help you, that's also really important. Jean-Luc. Hello, hi.
Hello, my name is Jean-Luc. So sorry, I have a bit of stage fright right now. So this is going to be my first experience with Soma, and to be honest, I don't know what to expect, or I don't know what's going to go through my mind when the day is actually there. But I just wanted to ask two questions. So the reason why I'm doing this is because for the past 2 years I have been struggling with depression. And yeah, the reason why I want to do this is more for self-acceptance and self-love, and I hope that I can find that within myself through Soma. And then the two questions that I do have is, the first one is, what can I expect to gain from this experience?
And then the second question,
the biggest question that I have is, what will the weeks that follow be like for me after the experience? And that's all.
Thank you, John. Look, I'm going to hand over to Roger. Roger.
Yeah, I think the first thing is what I always say is we don't, I mean, clearly, we just ordinary human beings. So we don't diagnose anybody with any medical condition. Neither do we treat any medical condition. My own feeling is that going on a soma journey allows you to go into your own consciousness. It's a deeply spiritual process, if I can put it that way, from a consciousness point of view. And it's through that process that the healing comes. The other point I want to make is that, and I've got somebody coming to see me tomorrow who's suffering from addictions. And the first thing I'm going to say to him is that don't think that coming on a soma journey is a silver bullet in its own right.
Mm-hmm.
This deeply spiritual process that you are going to go on, for me, it had the effect of, in my case with addictions, immediately attending to that process, to that. But I still had to do a lot of other hard work myself. And so what I want to say is that you've got to take your experience that you get through the journey, the insights and the realizations that you come to, and to do something positive with them in the days and weeks that follow your journey. So I just want to say that, doing a journey it's been proven scientifically, can be a life-changing experience. But don't take it as the panacea in its own right. Sometimes there are positive steps that you've got to take following your journey from as a consequence of the messages and the symbols and the realizations that you get through the journey and in the days and weeks that follow. And so going back to the question that was just asked, what would it be like in the days and weeks that follow? In the days and weeks that follow, broadly speaking, one comes to certain realizations. It's important that you then take positive steps in your life in respect of those realizations as they materialize. If I can leave it there for now.
Thank you.
Thank you, Roger. Jean-Luc, you're joining us, our at-home event next week.
Yes.
You're going to be at home with your folks, with family members?
Yeah.
Is that my dad?
Hi.
It really is a pleasure to meet both of you.
Thank you. Good to meet you guys.
You're getting ready as father and son for a really special experience, one that we cannot prepare you for in a spiritual and emotional way, other than be there for you and help you prepare you for the physical stuff. The stuff we can't explain is this bond that's likely to happen for an experience that you're going to remember for the rest of your life. And it could be hard. I'm going to be quite honest, because you're arriving at home together to do really serious work together, JP. Jean-Luc, JP, I think that's your dad, right? If I remember from correspondence. Hi. But have the courage to do that together and have no expectations. Roger has put it so beautifully. No expectations of an outcome. No expectations that these feelings of depression that you have at the moment that you're struggling to find solutions for are going to go away. Just simply embrace what arrives. That's the way mushrooms works. It will give you an experience that you may not expect whatsoever. And I was sending an email to someone today who is very disappointed about the experience that they had. She says it was an absolute flop. She attended a journey with Monica some time ago. But the flop that she had is an experience. The blank that she thought she'd taken is an experience. And her self-judgment and response is Soma actually showing her things she wouldn't have seen otherwise. So I don't know what you two very special men are in for. But I'm really looking forward to being there with you next week. During the week, we'll give you all the information you need to prepare, and also hearing about it during and after. The at-home events is not just simply about us being there and support. It's also about creating a platform and environment where you can communicate with complete strangers in a supportive way afterwards. And that applies to the retreat with Monica as well, to have a platform where if you're struggling to deal with stuff, which I don't know anything about, or Rodi doesn't know anything about, you can reach out into these groups of strangers to say, you know what, this is going on in my life at the moment. I really don't know how to deal with it. Is there anybody else experiencing the same thing? And 9 out of 10 times is a very random person from a very random walk of life understanding exactly where you are and is able to take your hand and sit with you for a while. And that's really powerful. It's really powerful to have that support available. And that's really what a Soma retreat can offer too.
Thank you, Dad.
Yeah, really, both of you.
Thank
you.
Is that
Mom? Next
yes. Young. Hello. Yes, I'm Mom.
Hi, Mom. What is your name?
Candace,
are you going to be home next Saturday night? What are your plans?
Yes, I'm going to be at home as well. So it'll be the three of us. JP will be with him. And I'll be here silently, just being here.
trying to disappear into the background completely. Yeah. We don't know. And that's the important thing of being a companion or a watcher. We don't know what a person is thinking. We may want to put words into another person's mouth. We don't have them. Their experience is completely away from what we have. You'll have a chance the next day to hear all about it. But during the night of the experience, step away and let it all happen.
Yeah, that's what we're planning on doing.
That answered my question.
Yes.
Thank you.
JP, Jean-Luc, do you have any more questions this evening?
No, I'm good. I think I got my answers here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Just to continue a little bit with that, and also to answer Katerina's question, between now and next week, this feeling of preparation, for some people, Katerina, yes, it is dreams. For other people, it's synchronicities, things that happen, things you see. It just feels like Soma's involved. It's already working, and it is. When you made a decision to do this work, Soma started working with you already. And that can be through dreams, feelings, people you meet, all kinds of magic. And we can only confuse that with our own imagination and preconceived ideas. Go with it, embrace all of it. And in preparation for the event, you'll be part of a group. Share how you feel. Share what you're thinking in the days that lead up. Don't be shy. It really is an opportunity to open your heart. Roger is puts it so beautifully as well. Roger, how you share, especially us men who struggle with that, that opening of the heart doesn't necessarily always mean crying. It just means being honest, really, and that honesty is to yourself. Really is easy to be honest to yourself, and to a stranger is a good starting point. I'm rambling. Christoph.
Well, Anton, could I maybe answer Arthur's question about the 5 grams? And just say that through experience, we have found that for somebody doing a journey for the first time, that 5 grams is the right dose. As you become more experienced in journeying and using mushrooms, you can reduce it. But for a first timer, we suggest and recommend 5 grams. What's also quite interesting is I'd like to try and would want to one day try and find out where this, the term the hero's dose came from. I have my own theory, and that's based on the readings I've done on Joseph Campbell, who paints a picture or says that if you look through mythology and if you look through history, there are certain characteristics that one finds in a hero. And the first thing is that a hero is somebody who decides to head off where he's never headed off before. Just like Vasco da Gama and all of those people did when they jumped on their ships and headed off on the seas to places unknown. And lo and behold, they have an experience and they come back. And so I think everybody who does a journey is a hero in their own right. Because to some extent you are heading off on a journey into an area, into an unknown. But be rest assured, you will return. So 5 grams is the recommended dose for a first timer. And I think hopefully I've given you some explanation of how I see the hero's dose.
Thank you, Roger. We'll work through some of the text questions as we go. Let's go to Christoph. Christoph, go ahead. I've unmuted you.
Evening, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
My name is Christoph. I'm an engineer and I've got 4 to 5 questions. I'll be coming in for hopefully the event at your retreat. The first question I have is visibility. When on the shrooms, how good can you see? And how good can you be able to see?
Christoph, do you want to answer? I'll answer that question and just say to you that, look, your all your senses are heightened. Your sense of smell, taste, sight, hearing are all enhanced. But just bear in mind that the soma way generally is an inward process. You want to go into your own consciousness. So you preferably you don't want to lie there with your eyes open all the time because you actually want to journey inside. But even as you journey inside, I mean, the visuals can be, well, psychedelic.
Okay, understood. Second question, the watcher's interference. When we do the overnight at the retreat, do you get an assigned watcher or is it random, the closest watcher to you if you just need someone to look at or just ground you?
Really what we try to do in the space is to anchor the space as a whole. We don't pay particular attention to any journey, and there is no watcher that is assigned to a specific journey. And generally, our maxim is that you don't need us to intervene in your process. So generally, we don't intervene. We are there if we are needed, if you need assistance getting up or going to the toilet or going outside, we'll be there. But as a rule, as a journeyer, you don't need us. It's your journey, it's your process. We're not there to intervene in your process at all.
Okay.
Christoph, to clarify and also to answer another question in the text, the key period is maybe 4 to 6 hours when you are in a psychedelic state, where you may be seeing geometric patterns. That the core of the experience will last for that 4 to 6 hours. And in that time, you may be unstable on your feet. If you want to get up and go to the toilet, you're going to need some help. That person's not necessarily going to be assigned to you, but they will be present and watching over you in case you need help, and which you may not. But that is simply getting up and finding your way down to the bathroom, down to the toilets, and ensuring that you return comfortably if you need be. And then they're there to be available, help you with soup and things like that as you come out of the experience throughout the night.
Okay, thank you very much. Last one, if I want, I've certain answers or certain questions or learning experiences I want from Sama. Is there mental preparation or thoughts I can go through the week to be reassured that I can get that answers, or is it something I don't have control over?
There's going to be a really clever answer, which I'm going to not find. One doesn't need a clever answer. When you're speaking to your heart, to your God, to a divine force, you don't have the answer. So you shouldn't set an expectation of looking for an answer. You should allow whatever needs to come to come. So typically setting an expectation is going to disappoint you. You are limiting your experience by your own imagination, whereas if you take that out of the way, you are likely to meet and see something way beyond what you ever could have expected, and get to the core of whatever you need to have arrive with you. Roger.
Just to say that you on a journey, you never know what you're going to experience and what buttons are going to be pushed. Don't get me wrong, you may be looking in one direction, but the answer is actually in the other direction. So let it be. Let the process unfold and see what buttons are pushed for you during your journey.
Thanks, Roger.
Can I quickly just add to that? Just there's a slight little, I almost want to say, pivot to that question. I think it's important to understand why it is that you yourself want to take part in the process, and you don't want to subject yourself to this process on behalf of anyone else. You don't want to do it because your wife feels it's a good idea for you to do it, or your parents feel it's a good idea. You need to be convinced within your heart that this is something that you want to go through for yourself. And for me, intent is in that. I want to heal. I want to go on this journey. That's important. So if you can answer that question for yourself, that's all. You need to be willing and open and all of those things. But if you can answer that question for yourself, in my mind, that is all that you need. The rest is an open blank canvas, and that will be filled on the evening.
Thanks, Atoy.
Thank you, Christoph.
If I may, sorry, just chip in there, Antoine. You and I will remember an engineer from Joburg when we did a ceremony there a couple of years ago. And engineers tend to be over analytical. And I think maybe this is what's happening here. You will recall, Anton, how blown away the engineer was the next morning.
Thank you, Roger. I wanted to jump in. Kyle had his camera on for a little while and he was directly below Margie on the screen. Where's Margie now? Margie's up there now, and Kyle has shifted away completely. And Rhodey says to me in my ear, what are the chances that two cello players are right next to each other,
below each other on
the screen? Can you cope? So moving on, as the two cello players are now not next to each other on the screen anymore. But Kyle, I see you're typing away shortly. I look forward to hearing something about that. I'm going to hand over to, is it Nabila?
It's
Double
Nabila.
Hi. You can have a conversation with Margie. She's amazing. Nabila, cool. Thank you.
Hi. Okay, so I'm Nabila. We've kind of been looking into mushrooms for a while now. I would say about a year and a half, it's kind of been a bit of a thing. I battle with a mild anxiety. I wouldn't call it like hectic or anything like that. But it is something that I want to get rid of, and it is something that does kind of hold me back occasionally, not all the time. I've also somehow come up with some sort of a fear of death from nowhere. I don't know where it came from, but anyway. And that's one of the things that, one of the things I wanted to ask was, from all the things that I've read and learned about, you know, the 5 gram dose is quite hectic. It puts you in that place of feeling as if you're dying, that kind of thing. My question really is, when you're in that moment, are there like physical things that will, like, will your body, I don't know how to explain it. Like, will my heart rate be racing? It feels like it's racing, but will it really be racing? Was that just something in your head? And in that respect, like, I know you say the watches don't get involved, but have there been times where you've had to get involved because of a physical reaction? That was my first question. I do have another one if you want to answer that first.
I know Monica wants to go maybe possibly a step back in the conversation, but she could maybe step into this part as well. Monica, go ahead. Monica?
Will you repeat your question, Nabila?
I was basically just asking if the mushrooms have a physical reaction that actually can be harmful.
And do you feel it? And is the physical reaction real?
Yeah, exactly.
Your body does respond in many different ways. Your body and your mind and even your spirit. There's a response from all of those areas of our being. And it does no harm. You know, if you run around the block, your heart rate will rise. Your blood pressure might rise or fall. A very common physical reaction is feeling really cold for a while, where like almost like your bones are freezing up and the cold is coming from inside. You can wrap yourself up on the outside, it doesn't help. You have to just weather that coldness. That's a very common reaction. And another physical reaction can be a lot of yawning. Loud, sometimes a yawning that can't stop. People can't stop yawning. So it's nothing very scary. That kind of thing. Is there a particular reaction, Nabila, that you are concerned about?
There's two. The one is I generally have quite a high heart rate on a normal day. And I sometimes feel like if I've taken like a small dose of mushrooms or if I've smoked weed or something like that, I often feel like my heart races a little bit. And I'm not sure if it's real. And so sometimes I have my watch on just to check if it feels like normal. And also like nausea.
Mm. Nausea is another reaction. I didn't mention that one. Those are all normal. I would say that, have you had your heart checked? You don't have a heart problem.
I have had it checked, yes, I have.
And you don't have a cardiac problem?
No, thankfully. Okay. It has started to get lower as I've sort of built up my fitness a little bit here and there. So, yeah, it is not serious. It hasn't like weakened my heart in any way. So that was good. Yeah. Mm.
The nausea, just to come back to that, we could spend a lot of time on that, but it's not necessary. It usually passes. It seems to more often than not, or seldom, should I say, result in actual purging, just a feeling of nausea. And we have various ways, if it needs to be eased, we prefer actually for people to stay with their physiological experiences. And not try and take them away. I mean, another one just occurs to me now. Sometimes people will get a headache, which will also go away. But if it stays and gets really bad, then we have Disprin on hand to help with that. But ideally, what we aim for is to help you ride the waves of everything that happens to you, because it's very individual to you. If you have a headache, for instance, it doesn't mean the whole room has a headache. It's just you. And therefore, it's part of your process that you need to live with and grow within yourself. It's but I think it's more the watcher's problem, that we hate to see people suffering. We don't want you to have a headache or feel nauseous all the time. I struggle with that. I want to make you feel better. But some, and I also know at the same time that maybe this is something you need to work through. Was your heart rate the only concern you had, Nabila?
I think mostly. And just like, yeah, like the nausea, that sort of a thing. Like if there was anything that sort of lasted or was really long or was just really awful, in other words, you know.
You know, it can be. It can be. And I suspect that what is happening is there's some kind of a resistance to going forward. There's no way of proving that, but just from observing those who, for instance, have nausea for a very long time, that can happen. And there's something that they need to be letting go of, because nausea and purging are very symbolic of discomfort that you need to let go of. And I've thought to myself when I'm seeing that happening is that mushrooms want to take you further, want to open the doors for you to go further, but you're holding back in some way. And that brings on a nausea or a headache. But that's just my observation. That's not a scientific thing that's been proved.
Thanks. My other question was with regards to other people in a group ceremony, and if like one person's negative reaction or negative journey can impact you at your moment in your journey.
May I answer that one too, Anton?
Yes, please.
If you let it, it's up to you.
Okay.
It need not affect you negatively at all. As I said, with the nausea and the headaches and other physical reactions, just keep riding the waves with it. Let it rise. Go with it. It's not a disaster what other people are doing, what they are experiencing. And we had an experience in a very recent journey at my home, where we had someone who yawned loudly and often all night long. And a couple of people got very irritated and wanted her to shut up with that yawning. Most other people were able to just live with it and let it ride. And you know what they said in the morning? Those people who lived with it, some people got up, took their blankets and pillows and went and sat outside. What a pity is that? Because we're going to urge you to stay with the process. Stay what Soma is doing. It's a whole group experience together with many individual experiences within that, like a sort of a moving, living jigsaw puzzle. And if you leave, you take yourself out of that mix where you are supposed to be. And that's a great pity. But for those who, to take the lady who did the yawning, I mean, we could have tried smothering her with a pillow or something just to make everybody else happy, but we couldn't do that. All we could say was to people, just go with it, see it as part of you. And what people were saying in the morning, the yawning became the most beautiful thing for them during the night. And they felt huge waves of release and relief when they surrendered themselves into her yawning. She was yawning for everybody in the room. And that can happen with purging. Sometimes it happens that someone will start vomiting massively, and you'll get a bucket very, very quickly. And you have actually purged for other people in the room, and they feel the relief, because you have done it for them. Because we're a group, we're like a family, we're bonded by some kind of sacred genetic connection that holds us together, and we can choose to walk away, which is a great pity. I've said to people so often when that happens, you've invested in tonight, you've come a long way, all the way to Somerset West, you've paid money and you've given up time. Don't go and spoil it now by running away. Rather fall into what is happening. whatever it may be, without judgment.
Okay, thanks very much. That was actually a really great answer. My last question is just with regards, I know I spoke to you about this on the phone, Monica, but I was just saying to you that I'm like really nervous to try it. And I'm like, I know that it's normal and a lot of people are nervous, but should you wait until you are less nervous to try it, or do you just kind of go and like, I don't know, I don't really know kind of.
Sorry, can I answer that one too? Nabila, if you feel the call, which it sounds like you do, if you feel the call, it's mushrooms that's calling you. It's not you calling yourself. Soma mushrooms are calling you to come and work with them. It's got nothing to do with feeling brave and courageous. You come just as you are. I've often referred to this book that's got such a perfect title. And the title is Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. There's nothing, we're not a bunch of children here, we're adults. And you don't just not do something just because you're frightened of it. You take up your courage and you do it. If you feel the call, if you don't feel a call and you just want to have an exciting night, or you want to come and be a voyeur and watch what happens there, you're going to have a hard time that night because you were not called there in the first place.
Okay, but
I think you feel a call.
I do. it's actually feeling quite, strong. Let's put it that way. Cool. Thanks very much.
And by the way, everyone is nervous beforehand. If you're not nervous before your first mushroom journey, there's something wrong with you.
okay, well, that's good to know.
Welcome that anxiety, because it's a new experience. So, of course, you're going to be anxious. And just to experience the anxiety and thank your body and your brain for bringing on these natural ways of experiencing fear.
Thank you.
Nabila, I don't want to let you off the hook. There's a text question which I want to call you out on a little bit, seeing as you know you've written, I know that some people have negative long-term side effects of other psychedelics and would like to know if that is a common thing for psilocybin. I did not know that there are negative long-term side effects of other psychedelics. Maybe I'm putting the thought out that that is highlighted a little bit more by bad experiences that happen and get spotlighted as the norm and as a general rule. I think time will back us up in saying that the negative long-term side effects of other substances like alcohol, cigarettes, are way multiple times more negative.
Definitely.
On the statistics, Monica.
Sorry, I don't want to interrupt you, Anton. Regarding ongoing effects, how can I put this into words? It's a concept within the mind, something that's going on in what we're thinking about. It's not the long-term the consequences are part of, it's not even consequences, effects. If they are, and they go on for a week or more than a week, they are a continuing of your journey. Mushrooms are continuing to work with you. And I'm remembering one particular man who stayed nauseous literally for about 3 months. And this is another point, and I'm going to come back to that man. If there are ongoing effects that you're uncomfortable with, let us know. Because how will we know if you don't let us know? So that we can talk about it and discuss it with you. You don't need to run away or feel that we are going to be upset or something, because we have a lot of experience. Now, to go back to the man who was nauseous for 3 months, it turned out in the end that he was going through a massive battle within his own self that was had to do with his own behavior. And I'm not saying this will apply to any of you, but his behavior had been bordering on evil. And he was struggling with stuff that was many people would call evil. And so the nausea was going on and on and on because there's stuff he needed to get out of his system, which eventually he was able to do and be released of that thing. The evil is a very strong word, but it was his own word.
Quite incredible.
And that is, by the way, the only time it's been that bad. One person among thousands.
Statistics.
Do you have anything else, Nabila?
No, but I just wanted to comment about what you were saying about the long-term effects. It was just something that I read about. I think it was either LSD or one of the other ones. I can't remember exactly, but it was something like, you know, it was a person who had, what's that thing called, the brain issues? Anyway, and it just kind of had turned them to like basically become psycho. Schizophrenic maybe is not, maybe that was the right one. I can't remember exactly where I read it. It's possibly in the, you know, How to Change Your Mind book, but I can't remember exactly where I read it.
I would like in my lifetime for us as a humanity to learn to take responsibility for words we share and statements we make that we don't necessarily have a broader understanding of. Mm-hmm. My personal understanding of life is that if I need to go through a psychotic experience that lasts years even to be able to recover from what I've been through and have been hurt through in my life, then I'm at a point now where I'm willing to say, I'll go through that experience to get out the other side, if that's what I need to go through. And I know there are people out there that need to have that to get to the other side. Mm. And what we're saying as Soma Watchers is that in an unqualified but very firm, honest statement, is that we will walk through and walk with anybody that needs to walk down that path. We will be with them every step of the way, even if it takes years. And that's how serious we take this work. So we need to take responsibility when we say, well, I've heard of, because yes, it does happen. But I've heard a lot of other stuff about a lot of other substances having a lot worse impacts. But unfortunately, in this topic that we're talking about at the moment, and maybe the legalities of it, it sticks, and it sticks with a negative connotation, which makes it very difficult for people to arrive openly. So yes, I hear you, but there are reasons for that often as well, which we don't have an opportunity to question with those people that have gone through that experience. It just is how it is. So thank you for allowing me to say that, and thank you for bringing that out in.
Thanks very much. I wasn't obviously at all intending to say that, you know, people are going to go crazy.
I wanted to add something for you as well, Nabila. I know Roger, you want to add something, and then we'll go to Christy and also look at the comments. I wanted to add something about this point of experience. You mentioned when you start talking about ego death and experiences of death, which you may have felt fearful of or feel fearful of beforehand. I'm somebody that's been through an experience of death in a Soma journey. It wasn't an ego death. It was an experience of death where I lay there during a journey with a very deep and profound understanding. And I think this is what mushrooms gives you. I know this is what mushrooms gives you in many, many unique different ways. That I received an experience of what it would feel like to be on my deathbed and die and lie there with an understanding that one of these next breaths, and we're talking about 3, 4, or 5 breaths, is going to be my last breath. And being confronted in a journey environment of how I feel, the grief, the disappointments, the sadness of things that I haven't done, of things that I'd like to do, the grief of not telling my kids how much I love them. All those emotions are things that I went through. And when you respond in a mushroom environment negatively to that, that's when you may run away and you may have a bad experience. For me, it was accepting that at some point we're all going to die. and that this breath I'm taking is my last one. And I don't remember much for the next hour or two after that. I think I fell asleep. But the point is, I closed my eyes and I accepted that that was my last death, my last breath. The amazing thing I have in my life now is I know how I'm going to feel, or I know how it's likely that I think now my human mind thinks it knows how I'm going to feel when I die, which means I'm inspired to tell people I love them. I'm inspired to do the best I can for every moment of the day, because I want to minimize that effect of being disappointments and grief, et cetera, as much as what I can, because I have an expectation or an understanding, take the expectation, scratch that, an understanding of how I think I'm going to feel when I am getting ready to take my last breath. And that's how a Soma retreat often works. And it can be really tough to confront that. But the next morning, the sun comes up and you're richer and wiser. And you then have a choice to do with that understanding what you want to. And that's, Jean-Luc, where this, well, how is this going to unfold the weeks and the months that follow? Because what are you going to do when you know how you're going to feel? Are you just going to go on? Are you just not going to tell your kids you love them, or your mother how you feel, or et cetera, et cetera? What are you going to change? You have a choice. So I wanted to add that for you, Nabila. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Anton, and Monica as well. Thanks for all the answers.
Roger.
If I can just add there, and to some extent, Anton described exactly what I had myself. My near-death experience with mushrooms was very much the same. That realization that I was only but one breath away from dying, and that certainly changed my perspective. I'm far more at ease with the thought of dying than I was previously. I think the other thing two other points I want to make is that my mother-in-law, who now lives with me, is 88 years old. She's had two heart bypasses. She's had one or two mini strokes, and she's had the veins or arteries going to her brain worked on. And I approached two medical doctors, well known to all of us as watchers, who have extensive experience working with mushrooms, because I want to give her a journey. And their advice to me was that there was no physical reason why she should not be allowed to journey. So I'm just want to place that in context, that in context, it's relatively safe, relatively safe within context. The last point I want to make is simply this, and it's something that we've all emphasized throughout this evening, and that is that we take this work with the seriousness and the reverence and the respect that it deserves. I've had a horrendous journey previously before I came to SomaLab, but that was because it was a mixture of mushrooms, half a bottle of whiskey, and copious amounts of marijuana. And I was physically ill for weeks after that experience. But however, I was blessed, because something shifted that night, and that led me to a proper Soma journey about a year later, and my process of healing and sorting out myself. So, take this process with the seriousness and the respect that it deserves, and if you do it that way, you will get the maximum benefit out of it. Thank you.
Thank you, Roger. Christy, I'm going to come to you now. Get yourself ready. I want to answer one or two quick questions. The shelf life of a year, if you've stored the mushrooms in a cool, dark, dry place, it can last a long time. I cannot guarantee how the mushrooms would be that you say are now a year old. Shema, that could vary, but I suspect if it was stored okay in a cool, dry, dark place, that it will be okay. Christy, go ahead. I'm going to unmute you. There we go.
Hi. Awesome. Can you hear me okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. So my name's actually Heidi, but I borrowed a friend's laptop, so it's got the wrong name on it. So sorry for confusing you.
You're a late arrival. Hi.
Yeah. All right. So my name's Heidi. And I actually saw in the chat that there were a lot of people asking about like depression and anxiety and the effect that a trip can have, on you regarding those elements. So I've been struggling with a lot of psychological challenges since high school. And I've been going through the medical system for a long time without any major release. Like I've done some dialectic behavioral therapy, which has helped a lot. But in terms of medication, I've been on mood stabilizers and I've been on antidepressants, and a lot of the medication had severe side effects on my system. And yeah, my mushroom journey started, my soma journey, well, started 2 weeks ago, where I went on a trip with friends and it was life-changing. It was a very positive experience. And I also had a moment of mortality. No, I wouldn't say a death moment, but where I was looking at my body and it felt like my body was decaying. And I felt like the universe telling me, like, you are dying and you are mortal, but you are still alive right now. And isn't that incredible? And, it's amazing. And I'm still new to all of this. But actually, during that experience and during the weeks after that experience, I did feel a massive lift and elevation in mood, like, which I have not experienced in 15 plus years. So I'm very like positive about this journey, that it can definitely help you if you are struggling with anxiety and depression. And I've also been doing some research, and there's a lot of scientific research that indicates that psilocybin has a positive effect and can help to alleviate depression and anxiety. But I do think each person's journey is their own, because each person's trauma is their own. So you have to go to your root. And I think that's what the journeying can help you do. It can help you work on yourself and find liberation. But yeah, I even like somatically, like my body felt lighter. So I haven't felt that lightness since I was like a child, and it was just incredible. So I just wanted to share my experience with those who are maybe experiencing similar things. It has helped me a lot, and I'm really looking forward to continue with this journey. Yeah.
And I maybe ask, could I maybe just ask you, and how, what sort of processing have you done since your journey, and what have you had epiphanies and realizations in the days and weeks that follow?
Yes. So I took a little notebook with, I don't know why, but I had it with me, and the trip lasted about 6 hours. And I just remember having almost like epiphany on epiphany on epiphany, and looking at the trees, talking to the trees. And it was a very, like, I don't know, freeing experience. Like you could just hear the soul of the world, like the source, you know. It's like connecting to source, and you have revelation and you have relief. And during my experience on the psilocybin, I actually took notes in my notebook as I got like messages and as things were coming loose. And in the weeks after, I went back to my notebook trying to decipher what I wrote. but I remembered all of it. It wasn't like an experience that happened and I forgot about it. It's still with me. I can still see and feel and remember everything that happened, which is so incredible, because it's not an experience that happens in isolation and whoops, now you carry on with life. Mm. It's part of life. It's just almost like life accelerated. You know, it's a deluge of like downloading from the source, and It's incredible. So I did a bit of processing, like you say, because it just adds value when you add value to it, when you make it your journey and you record it and you make meaning of it, that's when it becomes really powerful. So yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Heidi. Looking forward to seeing you in December, I think it is.
Yeah.
Thank you. Margie has been doing a really good job of answering questions in the text box. Thank you, Margie. Let's go to, how do I pronounce your name? Is it Emma? There, I've unmuted you. Go ahead. Oops.
Yes, it's Emma. Thank you. No, wonderful to see you all. I had a question. You already answered how the online ceremony looked like, and I am very curious if you could walk through a bit how does the ceremony at Somerset West, the physical ceremony, how does that look?
I think one of the best ways to answer that is to, I'm going to hand over to you, Monica, but I'll say up front that I can send more information as an attachment to everybody that's attended this meeting, just so you've got that info, which gives you a full rundown of how the physical group experience works. And I see some thumbs up, so I'll do that for both, as well as the at-home events. Monica, can I hand over to you?
Yeah. I want to start with saying that the less you know about these things, the better. The surprise element is very important, but some people, they research like they're going for a doctorate, want to know everything before they get here, and it fills them up with expectations and all kinds of theories and things. And you don't need to know that stuff. I don't mind telling you what happens at my home. It's completely open. There's nothing weird or strange at all. We meet together in my home. I have a quite a large room with, it's got mattresses and pillows and blankets and things around it. And we start out with introducing ourselves to each other, getting to know who we are and who the watchers are that are on duty that night. And the sacrament is given to you and you settle down at that time, and the music begins and the music continues until, for many, many hours. And you will journey for about 6 hours. And in that time, all kinds of things will happen. Depending on, it's not the same. There's no a set standard of what happens every time. Every single time is different. There's an opportunity for you to go out and sit at a fire outside, under the stars, under the trees, go and walk on a field that's just over the road. There's a freedom to move around. If you want to go and if you get hungry at some stage, or there's a soup that is ready for you, you can help yourself, or the watchers will give it to you. And eventually you go to sleep. And that's usually somewhere around 3 o'clock, sometimes 4 o'clock, where everyone goes to sleep. And that sleep is part of the journey, just as much as the being awake is. And the watchers go and have a rest also, because we have to be up early to begin to prepare breakfast. And breakfast is from about 8:30. And anyone who comes early can do that as well and begin to share and talk. And the breakfast time is a very special sharing, bonding time where people have a chance, if they want to talk about what had happened to them during the night. And gradually it's all finished and people go home. Usually round about 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning. But there's no absolute, in fact, there is no usual of anything with mushrooms. And I want to make one other point, because I think it's important, not to your question, Emma, but a separate thing that has come to me a few times while we're talking tonight. There seems to be, and not even seems, there is a growing public perception that what we do with mushrooms is because we are depressed and we want to be fixed from our depressions or our anxieties or various mental difficulties. That is why we do mushrooms. It never was that. That is a mistake. From the start, we have met to create a spiritual experience that gives you a connection with a higher force that is very unique to you. We've got no doctrine, no teachings, no anything, because Soma will teach you what you need to know of a spiritual nature. That is what we exist for. Unfortunately, the media has played up a lot on these various mental problems that I listed earlier, and those are just labels that get stuck on people. You're all human beings, and you need to be aware that of being labeled, and then you become the label, and you want the label to be sorted out rather than finding a deeper spiritual experience, which is going to fix the other stuff, take the other things away, rather than going for the symptoms. As was mentioned before, the true experience goes down to the roots, the absolute deep, deep roots of which none of us know anything. I just wanted to add that, which I know is a bit off topic, but I think it's important because there's been so much talk of depression and all these other labels, implying that that's what we are here for. That's what we're doing. That is not our aim. The fact that people do recover from those things is because they are looking for a spiritual experience.
Yes, thank you for answering. And what you say about the not having, not knowing too much beforehand so you can't have expectations, I think that's a great challenge. So I think this was my information and that's it for now.
And you don't need any expectations. Come in with a blank mind and stop thinking. We keep having throughout our nights together, we're saying, just stop thinking. It's your thoughts that are messing things up. And even do a bit of practicing between now and whenever all of you are going to be journeying. Practice with stop thinking. If a thought comes into your head, practice stopping it. We are in control of our thoughts. And our thoughts end up being in control of us. Thank you, Uma, for that.
Thank you both. Monica, you gave in a little overview of the retreat in Somerset West, and you mentioned the music. Nikki has mentioned about being sensitive to sound. Nikki, I know you've journeyed at home before. When with Monica in Somerset West, it wouldn't be recommended to put headphones on, so to play your own music and drown out the room. The opportunity to take advantage of that sensitivity of sound, which is even further enhanced when you're on mushrooms, and then to use that to go deeper, that the breathing, the noises that sometimes do happen in a collective environment, which you can't avoid in the world that we're walking in on 365 days of the year. They're there. That guy that cuts in front of you in traffic is equivalent to the snorer in the room. He's not going to stop cutting you off in traffic, but you're going to receive the tools to put that to one side and work to put that to one side. So go with that openness of saying that you're going to be sensitive to sound, but you trust that you're going to approach that in a positive kind of way. And it will be different from your at-home experience. That music and a Soma retreat, maybe take the opportunity to let those that don't know. Soma retreat, the soundtrack is not just about pretty music. It's not just about elevator music in the background. Those songs are there with purpose. And there's silences in there as well with purpose. So you listen to 2-3 songs, and then there's silence, which can be a varying period of 1 minute, 2 minutes, 30 seconds. And it's in that deep silence where you can work even harder to be quiet within yourself. And there's strength in that collective, because you're you're not being silent only for yourself, you've been silent for the room. And it's in that silence where you get to think really hard, and you get to hear really deep sounds, to the extent of maybe even your heart beating. And you're not doing it for you, you're doing it for others. And that's when Soma can come down and just gently touch you with a whisper, and move through the room with a gentle breeze, or snore loudly or laugh loudly, and allow you to understand what that disturbance may mean. And that music's there to be an anchor in many ways, but also is very deeply part of a Soma experience. I'm going through the questions again. You're welcome, Nikki. Dirk, you've asked about the strains. Margie's explained. The most important, and Monica, you always set such a good guideline about the growers. They are the most important part of mushrooms. And probably when we're talking about the legalities of mushrooms, it's actually all about the grower. Why can't we grow and plant and cultivate what God has presented there for us? So when we're talking about the legalities and of using and possessing mushrooms, surely the same applies to the growing. And it just doesn't seem to. Cannabis ruling is contrary to that as well. But the growers present Monica with a variety of strains that arrive, and that mixture changes. There's no formula. There's no knowledge that we have that it is a specific makeup of how the Soma mix is put together. It does change and it does vary. And there's up to 6 or 8 different strains. There are two strains that aren't in there. There are reasons for those, but it does vary and it does change. And it's put together with good intent. I think that's the growers aren't in it for financial profit. They are being rewarded for their very hard work that they're doing with more risk than any of us. And they're doing it for the right reasons. And that's the difficulty of finding a grower, not just in South Africa, but I think anywhere in the world, growing mushrooms for the right reasons. And growers are often called to grow mushrooms just as we're called to journey in a very magical way. I've experienced that in hearing stories about people starting to grow. They don't know why. They're just doing it. And it's a very magical process. Questions? So, Monica, you've gone to this question hundreds of times, I think. What does Soma stand for?
Soma is the name of the spirit of mushrooms. And it's being used globally now. It's also the name of an ancient songs. There's a whole songbook in very old Indian religions, Vedic songs, devoted to the god Soma, and also to the drink, the Soma drink, that has been used over thousands of years. And there's an Egyptian god called Soma, and the word Soma itself has someone mentioned the body. The body represents Soma. Psychosomatic comes from that word. And the spirit of mushrooms is a Soma experience. It's almost one of the names of a divine name in a kind of way.
Thank you, Monica. I've seen here Ronald has also asked about detoxing your body. Does it affect the impact of the mushrooms? I think that's a topic that can also be over-explained and over-discussed when we start telling people Margie mentioned it, the fasting beforehand, the detoxing of the body. The simplest explanation in its most basic form is to simply rest your digestive system. There are, I think, Monica, you've got observances that you touched on about nausea. I think many people that have worked a lot with mushrooms may form their own opinions and thoughts about what nausea and meaning is. But quite simply, the starting point for detoxing or fasting is to rest your digestive system, to give your body the opportunity to not interfere in the process, because it will interfere in the process, because that's what you do. That's what you do when you're living life. Your body gets in the way. And we don't want to bring our awareness to our body. We want to try and take that out of the equation and allow ourselves to go into our mind. Monica.
I have noticed with the matter of preparation, which would include fasting, among other things, that for some people, it becomes a complete obsession, where they go fast for long periods of time and they think they've got to make them get well. Or we think we've got to be ready. We've got to prepare ourselves to experience Soma. And what happens then, it's an attempt to actually control and be in control of your experience, where the very thing that we need to be doing is releasing control. And you can do whatever you like and arrive in whatever state you're in, as long as you haven't had other drugs, and you will have an experience. And I know of people who've had a whole meal just before they arrive, and they have a profound life-changing experience. So getting hit up about all the details and becoming obsessive about it becomes an obstacle to an experience.
That's very true, Monica, very. I don't think we missed anything. I think the only thought process I see here is user, I can't for the life of me remember your name, I apologize. You asked about the advisability of taking a few days off work after a journey. I can't say it, maybe others could add a comment. Monica, maybe you've got your hand up for a different reason, but from my thought, it's okay. from my point of view, I wouldn't call it advisable. If you feel like you would need to take an extra day or two rest, do so. A Soma retreat is typically on a Saturday night, so that you can arrive in a calm space, not necessarily need days of recovery. To arrive directly after work is going to be much more of a busy mind than what you need after that. You may not sleep deeply, and that therefore a Sunday afternoon is a good time to get some good rest. And then there are the ideas of having conversations and having an opportunity to speak to people in life afterwards for the days and weeks that follow. But that's the days and weeks that follow. It's not necessary to take time off to experience that. Roger, you wanted to add on to that?
Yeah, look, I think I just generally say to people that come to me that try and have an easy day the day after. And be kind to yourself, be gentle to yourself. Some people are quite bright and breezy the morning after a journey, and I generally find I'm a bit woolly headed, and like to have a good Sunday afternoon nap. I don't know if it's because of my I'm getting on in life or what, but yeah, I just generally say to people just be gentle with yourself. The day after a journey.
Sleep is one of the best things you can do the next day, because while you're sleeping, you pick up on the journey. Sleep is also an altered state of consciousness. So the best thing to do just on the Sunday following is to sleep.
Thank you, not because
you're getting older, Roger.
Because you enjoy sleeping more like I do. Can I say we get up at 4:30 in the morning now? It's very early. So,
and I'm guilty for that.
Thank you, Margot, for clarifying. Margot and Sean, I appreciate your names rather than referring to as user. Mm. There have been a lot of questions, a lot of answers. Are there any others that I'm missing? I've done a lot of talking with Rodianne next to me. That happens a lot. she's very good.
Anton's getting good, but if I inhale loudly enough, he pauses for me to say something. Tonight he's been pretty good, so I haven't need to inhale. So we're all good. It's a thing of living in each other's pockets. Some people say that they see us as one. Sometimes it's a curse and sometimes it's a blessing. So I just let it go. As I often say, Anton allows me to look smart because he fills in all the gaps. And if I feel I need to be smart, I can add something in. So it's a good symbiotic relationship.
Thank you. Any last words from our panel? Roger, Margie, Monica, Suzanka, Dutoy. Roger?
Yeah, maybe I can start and just say it's been lovely communing with everybody. Because it's all about love. Thank you.
Thank you, Roger. Margie?
I mean, it's interesting always the kind of questions and fears and anxieties that come up in these meetings from people who haven't journeyed yet. And there's often quite concrete answers on things. And I think you have to go through a journey to realize that there aren't always concrete answers. And so I think sometimes maybe the kind of answers that we give might be kind of fluffy because firstly, it's so individual how you experience and B, it's often quite difficult to describe the kind of things that happen. So I think live a bit with that vagueness, come with the good intentions of really wanting to engage in the process. And to let yourself be open to it without any strong specific expectations. So, yeah, and then tell us afterwards what, you know, if you still have all of those fears and anxieties, although one has it before any journey because you never know what's going to happen anyway. So,
thank you, Margie. Dutoy, any thoughts?
No, Anton, thank you. It was good meeting everyone tonight, and it was good listening to all of the responses and stories. I think everything that I had top of mind was definitely addressed. Nabila, I kept on wanting to refer to your questions around your heartbeat, I was thinking at the time, wanting to tell you, look, your body knows how to beat its heart. You don't have to worry about your heartbeat and how fast it beats. If your doctor says your heart is fine, it's fine. I think the best part about doing a soma journey is your mind goes quiet and you get to experience your true self in such a beautiful way. Earlier this week, an old school friend of mine approached me to speak about a journey, and she said that she finds it very difficult. She doesn't know whether she's ready to relinquish so much control yet. And somehow that is exactly where the response lies, is you need to just let go of that control. You just need to let go. And that is where the beauty lies. So just wanted to add that. But it was a beautiful evening. It was so nice to see all of your faces. And it'll be such an honor and privilege for me if I'm going to watch one more time later next weekend, I think. But to be able to watch over you guys whenever you are ready. Thank you for being here tonight.
Thank you, Dutoy, for being here. Just like, doesn't Dutoy have a lovely voice?
Yes.
You could listen to that. Thank you, Dutoy.
Bye, Donkey Anton.
Suzanka, any last thoughts from you?
Yes, I would like to commend you for being brave. You are here for a reason. And I would like to invite you to trust that reason. My first journey was completely on my own at home with 5 grams, and it was incredible. And I only realized after the journey ended, shite, I was really brave to do that. But it really opened the door for a lot of trust. So yes, trust and continue being brave and trusting, because you are so held by this community in that. And yeah, looking forward to hearing your journeys.
Thank you, Suzanka. And just to add on to what Ronald has said, please book and register. The reality is we're not saying you have to journey and work with mushrooms with us. This information session is for anybody that is interested. But the events in Somerset West especially have filled up quite quickly, but purely because it feels like there may not be space. Space has arrived. When mushrooms call you, you don't need to force your way in. You just need to arrive. And that arrival often means that space has become available. We're trying to accommodate as many people as possible. And sometimes there are options, especially if you're registered, then I can communicate those options that come up with you. If I don't know, then we simply don't know. So feel free to register, get your name in with us, and we'll keep you up to date. Monica, any last words or thoughts from you?
Nope, I've said enough.
Thank you. One of the big reasons I love recording these experiences, these meetings, is the wisdom that we get to store and keep a record of from Monica. As much as what she tries to avoid, and she shakes her head, the reality is there's a treasure trove worth of information right there. So thank you, Monica.
And available to all of us.
And available to all of us, yes. Mm. Ronald, private sessions, they don't really happen in the sense of one-on-ones and things like that. There simply isn't space for it. You can get in touch with us, and we can maybe let you know what options there are. But we're not a big organization that's offering different people's events and things like that. It's Monica with her events in Somerset West, and lockdown created the at-home events as well. And we're trying to accommodate as many people in that process as what we can. But there are many people today that are offering to be with you for a mushroom experience. I read something or learned something the other day where we know that if a person's going to take mushrooms, if they've decided they want a psychedelic experience, then nothing's going to stop them. But there's the follow-on from that. If someone's decided they're going to be a watcher or a sitter or a guide, that's what they're going to do as well. No one's going to stop them from doing that. And you're likely to come across them. And if you, again, open your heart, the right person will arrive to be there. Don't force it. Go with what feels right. That is such a big part of a soma experience, is connecting with your heart and intuition, that little voice. This is wrong, this is right. Maybe I should try this, maybe I should do that. That's the connection that builds this momentum in you and becomes this journey of purpose. See how I waffle, I go on to a tangent. So I hope that gives you an idea as well, Ronald. But communicate with us. There's stuff to talk about, and often the answers arrive when we communicate. Rhody, I'm going to ask for any last words.
I'm just in awe of listening to all the wise words that have come from the watchers. I echo what Margie said and what Dottore said and Roger, just how arriving at mushrooms is something so magical that, you know, we actually can't label it in any way. And even think that it's going to be what we think it's going to be. Mm. One thing that I have learned over time is that the mushrooms know what it needs to work on with you without you knowing. And only over time sometimes do you actually see the bigger picture of what it's actually been working on. And like a big facet of a diamond, it's been working from all different angles, but on the same topic. But sometimes in such a gentle way that you don't actually even notice. You only realize afterwards. So I can only echo what everybody said, and we've all spoken for so long. It's just be brave, as Suzanka said. It's not an easy thing. And another thing is, as Monica said, the call's got to come from inside. And like I think Dottore also mentioned, you can't do this for anybody else but yourself. And it's the same as, like I said, I've arrived here not for anybody else but myself, because of my connection that I'm feeling, that I would like to share with other people, whether it's you or not, on the other side of the screen. So looking forward to seeing any of you, and maybe all of you, in the future. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Rhody. Margot, hi, you're sitting up. How wonderful.
Hi. Sorry, just to quickly, I know I have asked this question before and I've got a little bit of an answer, but with more of a panel here, I'm just quite interested. My hubby and I are wanting, well, we had booked actually for this Saturday, but then unfortunately with us being away, we realized it wouldn't be possible. So, but with partners doing it on the same evening, I know you said it would be okay if we just kind of sat up, you know, the opposite ends of the room, and if we were happy that we weren't going to sort of interfere with each other's journey. What are your experiences and what do you suggest?
Go for it, Monica. Yes, thank you.
It seems logical that the ideal thing would be best for a husband and wife to come on separate nights. I'm learning the longer I work with mushrooms, though, to not rely on logic, because mushrooms are not interested in logic. They are interested in each individual person, and therefore each individual couple. And so if a couple feel that they really want to come and journey together, they must do that. If that is what the calling feels for them, again, I would think logically they should not sit next to each other. But we have had many married couples and couples coming, many, many, many over the years. And some have upset each other, maybe two or three over all that time, because they interfere with each other. But the important thing is that you do what feels right for you. And and if you want to be separate, otherwise be together or come on different nights. You sort it out for yourself. We want you to be able to be in control of your own lives. And we're always willing to support when needed. But there's no one answer for the matter of married couples. Or couples, I should say. Not necessarily married.
Does that answer your question, Margot? Okay. Detoy is another example of this couple married scenario. I'll never forget Detoy arriving with his wife. She was so ready and so prepared for this experience, which got cancelled. And she was so disappointed. It was bitterly. And I remember it so clearly. And Detoy, you arrived to collect sacrament from Monica, and you did this experience at home with you as her watcher, rather than, can't recall, I think the two of you would have journeyed together. Or it would have just been her. It would have just been her, that's right. And you ended up being her watcher. And I think, I'd like to think in my own mind, but I think I'm right as well, that it really stepped forward a profound experience for the two of you in being able to experience it in that way. At that time, we couldn't have made that up. And it was so unique to what fitted for you. And Soma presents these experiences in that way, even away from the psychedelic experience itself. Soma experiences so much more than just this one night of an experience. It's a connection that builds long before and beyond. Is that all? That's my last words as well. Thank you, everybody. It's a privilege for me to be able to have spent some time with all of you. I'm very grateful for that. I'm grateful for you listening to all of us, and I'm grateful for these magnificent watchers and people who offer their time to share it with us too. Thank you for being here, and lots and lots and lots of love, and look forward to seeing you soon.
Anton, thank you to you. Thanks, Rodi, and thanks everyone. Have a wonderful evening.
Thank you.
Bye. Love you all. Bye-bye.
Bye.